So, reading from Jai the Dharma, Chapter 21, Pramaya, Abhideya, Rajanuga Bhakti. So again, this is Vrajanathan Vijay, a nephew and his uncle, who have come to Krishna consciousness in Bengal, and they're going to the ashram of Raghunath Babaji, Das Babaji Maharaj, and Gojan Dweeb. And they're inquiring, and this is a novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're inquiring, and Babaji Maharaj is now answering his questions systematically. And he's systematically explaining the process of Krishna consciousness to him. Basically, it started with him explaining Dashamula, which are 10 summary instructions. The first one is Pramana, the means of knowing. What is the valid means of knowing? And then Pramaya, what is to be known? What is to be known is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Priyojana. What is to be known is description of reality, which is part of Sambandha. The Abhideya, the means of knowing so, and Priyojana, what is the goal? So the ninth verse of the Dashamula, which he's explaining, is Abhideya, what's the means of knowing? And it's divided into two, according to one's faith, not just one's level of spiritual evolution, but in terms of one's faith. In terms of one's faith, in terms of the object of devotion that one is aspiring for. When your object of devotion is Narayan, or God in Majesty, then your faith is doing all the right things according to the Shastra to invoke that love. It's love, but love with a superior. Love with a superior, and therefore you have to know how to act. And the other is Lobha Mayi Shraddha, spontaneous devotion, because there's no obligation. It's really different. You're not dealing with God. You're dealing with God, but you're dealing with him in an intimate way. You're dealing with him as your friend, your lover. He still has that position, but it's your friend, your lover, your child. And therefore, the inspiration for that type of service is just your spontaneous attraction and love. Your lobha, your greed, your desire to do that. Like a mother and a child. And what's that? You know, she's superior. Everything is love. There's really no obligation or duty. Of course, in his laws, in the world, etc., like that. But in the exchange of the relationship, the inspiration is just that intense desire, love. And then, so he starts to explain Raghunuga Bhakti. And Raghunuga Bhakti, you first have to understand Vagatmaka Bhakti. Vagatmaka Bhakti is that type of spontaneous love in relationship to Krishna that's found in the spiritual world. And Raghunuga Bhakti is one who develops an attraction to serve as one of those Ragatmaka Bhaktis. And when that happens, there's different practices or sadhas that one could do. And basically, it's to hanker to serve as a particular devotee and remember that devotee whom you want to serve and your aspiration to follow him. And therefore, your Ishtadev, your worshipable God, is the form of Krishna in that relationship. For example, it's a child, and it's you want Krishna as a child, then there's a deity called Baal Krishna. You want him as a friend, there's Krishna in Balaram. You want him as a lover, it's Radha Krishna. And basically, you worship the deity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set that example in Puri, and you hear about those pastimes. And that's actually how you cultivate it. And the Bhaganuga Bhakti or the Gatmaka Bhakti can be divided into two, basically Sambandha, Sambandha Ichimayi and no, not Sambandha, it's Sambandha Rup and Kama Rup. Sambandha Rup means relationship, Kama Rup means conjugal affection. And that's separated from that. They're all relations. That's separated due to its speciality and that, and the intensity of that relationship. It brings it into another category. And of course, Sambandha is you can be Krishna's friend, you'd be Krishna's parent. And then those who follow the devotees in conjugal love, they're called Kamanuga. And those who follow the friends and the parents are called Sambandhanuga. And now he divides conjugal Kamarup two types. Sambhog Ichimayi, Tad Tad Bhava Ichimayi. Sambhog means you want union with Krishna, and Tat Tat Bhava Ichimayi is that you just want to relish the and experience the mood of the gopis of Vraj towards Krishna. It's just like I would give an example, like a parent. And let's say they have a guru and they have so much affection for the guru. And they have so much love for their child. So their child comes and the guru is very affectionate to the child. Very affectionate to the child. And then the mother will feel, you know, that relationship. She'll enjoy that. She'll enjoy, and it's still within guru-disciple relationship, but she'll enjoy that relationship that her loving child has with her guru. And she'll almost feel the same affection. And she'll experience it through that child. So in the same way, one has so much love for Radha, so much devotion for Radha, that out of love for Radha, one will experience the same mood that Radha has towards Krishna and the same love that Krishna has towards them. But it'll just be a, we call vicarious thrill, Tad Tad Bhava Ichimayi. You'll just appreciate it. And you'll want to be, have the relationship of those who serve Radha in that relationship. So, and then Vrajanath asks, how do these two kinds of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti arise? So he said, when a bhakta sees Sri Krishna's beautiful deity form and hears Sri Krishna's Madhurya Lila Katha, sweet pastimes, an intense hankering arises in heart to experience those moods and engages himself in the sadhana of Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga Raghunuga. It begins with this lobe or desire. You're hearing the pastimes of Krishna. You're seeing the beautiful form. And then a strong desire comes into your heart. I want to serve in this way. And if you're not sure, you don't have it. It's just like a young boy is attracted to a young girl. No one can tell him he doesn't. You can tell him it's not right, but you can't tell him he doesn't have that feeling. So it's that type of intense affection. Vrajanat, Sri Krishna is male, Purusha. And I should mention also that there's two types of Raghavada Bhakti. This is mentioned by Jiva Goswami. Jata Ruchi Raghavada Bhakti and Ajata Ruchi. Jata means when Ruchi has been born. And Ajata Ruchi means before it's born. And when Ruchi, when it's born, that means that you have chanted the name of Krishna, and by chanting the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna is manifesting intensely in those names. And then you're chanting, and then the qualities of Krishna manifest. You're feeling directly Krishna's compassion and his kindness intensely. And then the pastimes. And when the pastimes appear, then one gets a... In the name, one sees the associates of Krishna. And at that level of purity, one can adopt the practices of meditating on Krishna's pastimes and aspiring to serve as one of those residents had. One can take, you need a pure mind to smart, and Raghunatha Bhakti is smart. But before that, being in this line and reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and worshiping the deities, one may develop an attraction. He may not be qualified for smaran, but his, and he'll still be strictly under the rules. He's not yet spontaneously attracted. And if he doesn't have some obligation or duty, then he may fall from the path. But he will try to, you know, it's described in Bhakti Sundar. He's chanting his Gayatri. He's chanting the Gopal mantra. There's a vision of Krishna in that mantra. One thinks of Krishna under the tree in Vamsivat. So there can be an inspiration, there can be a cultivation, you know, etc. But that real lobe, either it comes at a higher point, or by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you get it, and you come immediately to that higher point. Vrajanat, Sri Krishna is male, Purusha, and the gopis are all female, Prakriti. As far as I understand, only females can have the adhikari for Kamanuga, Raghunuga Bhakti. So how can a male obtain this bhava? Babaji, jivas in this world are the abodes of five different types of relationship. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, according to their own inherent subhav. Of these five, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya are found in the residence of Raja. Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya with fatherly instincts are male bhavas, and those who are so inclined serve Krishna in male spiritual forms. The two rasas in which the female bhava is intrinsic are vatsalya with motherly instincts and shringara ras and madhurya ras, the mellow of amorous love. And those who are of this nature engage in Krishna's service as females. These two kinds of subhav exist both in Sri Krishna's eternal associates and sadhakas who are in their anugata, who are following. Anyway, I'm just relishing this. I don't know how many people are there, but even if it's just one, it's so nice being in Vrindavan. See, where I'm sitting, I have a window, and the window overlooks this large ashram called Radha Kila, many, many trees, where they keep Vrindavan as it was 500 years ago. There's no electricity, etc. And it's a famous ashram where they feed the birds. I'm 3 minutes from Krishna Bala Mandir, literally. It's a very unique place where I am. And they feed the birds. Thousands of parrots come every day at 3 o'clock. So it's very naturally conducive here to practice Krishna consciousness and think of these things. Prajanath, how do those who have a male form practice Raganuga Sadhana with the Baba of the Braja Gopis? Babaji, those who have developed Ruchi for Sringara Ras, according to their Adhikari, may be male outwardly, but their spiritual body, Siddha Sarira, has a female form. In this Siddha Sarira, Siddha perfect Sarira body, they engage in Krishna's service following the footsteps of particular gopi according to their ruchi and inherent swabhav. So, it's almost like everything is there in the spiritual world. This is kind of like spiritual transgender. But in our line, this is what people had aspired for. And you really have to come to the point to differentiate the forms from the mood, in the sense that the forms don't really correspond. In other words, in this world, these forms, female form, attraction to female form, are corresponding to a particular material consciousness. And because that's what we experience here every day in the world, to be able to do this, you have to be liberated from that conception. Otherwise, when you meditate on the gopis and yourself in relationship to the gopis as a female maid servant, let's say you're a man, you'll be meditating on a very, very mundane thing. And the proof that's given in the shastras that this has nothing to do with mundane lust, etc., is that the greatest renunciates like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are very strict when you hear a woman singing practically, he's meditating on this, or Uddhava, who is the highest, was glorifying the highest devotee outside of Braja, Vrindavan, was glorifying Krishna. So you really have to be able to see those things, and not only see the form, but see the bhav that caused those forms, which is selfless love. That's why one of the great scholars in Vrindavan, some devotees came to him and said, what do you think of Manjari Bhav? Manjaris are young girls. What do you think of Manjari Bhav? And he said, well, if you like young girls, because that's all you'll see if you don't really have purified your heart and have the adhikari and have actually developed devotion in your heart, have actually developed a deep mood of love, so that you can see that love there. That's what's nice in Vrindavan. It's easier to have those feelings and sentiment when you hear these pastimes. It's either easier to see the real mood behind them and not the mood that you'll project based on your own experience. Padma Prabhu describes males who possess this kind of bhava. When the sages of Dandakaranya saw Sri Ramachandra's unparalleled beauty, they performed bhajana with desire to get him as their husband. Later they attained gopi forms in Gokul Lila and engaged in Sri Hari's service by Kama Rupa Raga Mayi Bhakti. So the sages, Dhammasharanya, and they saw Ramachandra's beauty. It's not that, they were sexually attracted to his beauty, you know, but they sought his unparalleled beauty. And they desired to serve that as their husbands, and had nothing as their had Krishna as their husband, and it had nothing to do with the material conception of life. We have heard that the woman of Gokul, Anitya Siddha, who appear in Vraj in order to give nourishment to Krishna's pastimes. If this is true, how is it consistent with the description of the Padma Purana? So Nitya Siddha means eternally liberated. Nitya Bhada means eternally liberated. Vishin Sadhana Siddha means that you become perfect by your practice. Nitya Siddha means that you've been always perfect. So he says, those who are Nitya Siddha gopis easily participate in the rasa dance with Krishna. Others have taken birth as gopis after attaining Siddha through Kamarup Sadhana Bhakti. According to the shloka, Tavaryamana Patibhi Patriabhi Bhatri Bandhubhi, they attain their upakrit sarup by rendering manasa seva to Krishna. They were mainly the maharshis of Dandakaranya. Wait, that doesn't make sense. A dwarf, it should be. That seems to be a... Anyway, it's described that the way the spiritual process works, and this is described in the chapter of the Vaina Geet. When Krishna blew his flute, some gopis could go immediately and some couldn't. The ones who could go immediately are ones who are eternally perfect. The ones who couldn't go immediately were ones who, through practicing Kama Rupa Raga Rupa Sadhana Bhakti, then they took birth in Krishna's pastimes. That means they attained bhava. It wasn't yet prema bhakti. Generally, you come to the stage of bhava. And it's very hard to conceive of the body containing prema. Then you're born in where Krishna's performing his pastimes. And Krishna blows his flute, because you're not yet at that level, but you have the desire to be, and you're restricted from going. That intensity in the consciousness purifies your subtle body completely until it's qualified actually to have that kind of relationship with Krishna. And Vajranath, will you please explain who are the Nitya Siddha gopis and who are the Sadhana Siddha gopis? Babaji, Srimati Radharani is Sri Krishna's Sarup Shakti, and the eight principal Sakis are first Kayu, Yuha, bodily expansion. The eight gopis are just direct expansions, full expansions of Radharani. The other Sakis, that means gopis, followed behind as a further Kaya Bhuha. All these Sakis are Nitya Siddha. They are Sarup, Shakti Tattva, and not Jiva Tattva. So the Nitya Siddhas are not Jiva Tattva souls. They're the Shakti of God. The general Sakis of Raja retain perfection by performing sadhana, follow Srimati Radharani's eternal associates, and they are known as sadhana siddha jivas. Having been imbued with the potency of Radini Shakti, they attained shalok, residence in Vraja Lila with the Nitya Siddha Satis of Vraja. So by practicing, they became qualified. Jivas who attained perfection by the path of Raghunuga Sadhana and Sringar Rasa and Madhira Rasa are included among the Sadhana Siddha Satis. Those who only serve Krishna according to the principles of Vidhimarg with the Viramsa, desire to enjoy Krishna for their own pleasure, gain entry into the group of Krishna's queens in Dwarka. One cannot be a follower of Raja Gopis through the Vidhimarg alone. However, those who behave externally according to the principles of Vidhimarg but internally practice the sadhana of Raghamarg retain Raja Seva. So there has to be to actually attain Raja, Krishna's pastimes, there has to be a particular type of mindset of wanting to be a particular associate of Krishna and following the path of Raga Marg, which is to cultivate that internally. And he's saying others may have a desire to be Krishna's husbands, but to have union with Krishna, but they don't internally practice that. They don't meditate on that. They don't have that. They just follow the rules and practices to get that. And then with that type of conception, they go up. They can go up to perfection, but they become queens of Dwarka. How can one fulfill the desire for enjoyment? Babaji, those who have the mood of Krishna's queens, Vidushi Bhav, towards the desire to give up. Those who have the mood of Krishna's queens, Mahishi Bhav, towards him, desire to give up the quality of shamelessness and engage in Krishna's service just as a housewife. They do not want to serve like the beautiful Raja Sundaris. So, anyway, this is things really, I think right now, at least for this next page or two, it's things that we'll have to basically realize to understand. But what it's basically saying here, there is an internal mood that's different in being Krishna's lover, not married, and being Krishna's wife. The wife is the desire to be the wife internally has all kinds of obligations and duties, which are, it's like a woman wants to serve a man. And there's different moods and external things that they want. They want, you know, the superior. They want the husband. It's different in the mood of that Swakya and Parakya. Swakya is married and Parakya is not. And so it's a completely different mood in the relationship. One is filled with all sorts of formalities and obligations, etc., and one is not. And it all depends on one's shraddha or one's mood of devotion. And you could see why Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu was, you know, presented that Krishna was married, and then at the end said, you know, I've read some things for others, and some things, you know, are the truth, or something. because it's so externally scandalous. And it may even attract those who are externally scandalous, which actually happened in our line. And this is why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, probably wouldn't even discuss things like this. I'm reading the book, I'm up to it. So I'm going to discuss it a bit, but try to discuss it in an appropriate way. That these are things that are so easily misunderstood by one in the bodily conception of life who doesn't have an experience of what real bhava or devotion is that they can project or ascribe to Parakya Ras. To understand that it has nothing to do with mundane love. Vrajanath therefore has to say, please explain this subject more clearly. Babaji, Mahishi Bhav is the sadhana seva in which one cherishes the spiritual conception that Krishna is one's own husband. The relationship that is established with Sri Krishna when one attains this Mahishi Bhav is known as Swakya, marital love. Those who have Mahishi Bhav, Mahishi means queens, the mood of a queen, in the stage of sadhana, do not experience the Parakya Ras, the paramour mellow of the gopis of Vraja, and this is why they cannot follow the gopis in Parakya Bhav. Therefore, the only way to attain Vraja Ras is to practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti in the Parakya Bhav. And it just shows that you have to be free from mundane conception and because it's so intense, and actually see it as a bhav. And again, that scholar in Vrindavan, and people said, well, and they said, what about Manjari Bhav? He said, well, if you like young girls, being sarcastic. He said, it's a bhav. It's a Manjari Bhav. It's not a Manjari Roop. It's a Manjari Bhav, and the bhav creates the roop. The bhav creates the form. And it's so confusing because a different bhav creates that form in the material world, which is exactly opposite of Manjari bhav. So somehow or other, one has to pray, one has to be purified, one has to be in the right association, one has to be selfless, one has to be pure, one does not take these things cheaply. Otherwise, one becomes sahajya. One takes it cheaply and tries to enter it prematurely, without the prerequisite qualifications. Vrajanath, by your mercy, I've understood up to this point. Now explain the difference between kama and prem. If the two are not different, then can't Prema-roop be used instead of Kama-roop? The word Kama sounds somewhat harsh. So he's saying, it's the form of lust. Why don't you say Prem? Prem has a sense of love. Why? It sounds so harsh. So Babaji answered, there is some difference between Kama and Prem. Prem is the same as Sambandha-roop, Rag. There is no difference between these two. In Sambandha-roop bhakti, there is no kam, in other words, no desire for sambhog. It is praying without keli, playful sporting pastime. Prema becomes kama-rupa when it is combined with the desire for sambhog. So prema becomes kama. Because prema is a generic term, you say. So when you actually have that desire for union to Krishna. Kamarupa bhakti is not present in any other ras. It's found only in the Sringa ras or Madhurya ras or the Vraja gopis. Kama in this material world takes the form of sense gratification, and it's quite different from a prakrit kama. The kama of this material world is only a perverted reflection or transformation of the faultless apakrita kama. Even Kumja's bhav cannot be called direct karma, although it is directed towards Krishna. So the karma of this world is only a perverted reflection. That's aprakrita karma. This is aprakrita means without material. It has nothing to do with material. Jadiya karma, lust in relation to inert lifeless matter, is based on sense gratification. It's only a transformation of misery. It is worthless and contemptible. In contrast, prakriti kama, worldly lust, is insignificant and abominable. You should have no hesitation in using the word prakriti kama, transcendental lust. Vajra, now please explain Raganuga Bhakti that is based on relationship. Okay, we're entering a new subject now. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Or say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vajrani.
Vajrani, Hare Krishna. Thank you for those beautiful pictures. Is it Radhasham Sundar? What's the name of the deity is there?
Yes, Radhasham Sundar.
Oh, so beautiful, those deities. When I come back, you'll tell me when you're dressing them, and I'll have to come that day and take Mahaprasad or something and see the deities. Okay, good. Anybody else want to say hello? What's that?
We also have Jagannath Baldev Subhadramai and Gaurnitya Deity.
Okay, I get to see them all. Anybody else like to say hello? Someone's trying. Not always easy to mute on mute. Anyway, I have a lot to do today, so I have to leave a lot early. Also, it's a lot to digest, so thank you all. A bunch of couple of you.